is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
From what day you may find out, certain people not like me. Everyone got a spaghetti now. Next to me, I do it like Nike. But me not fear no guy now. No matter how hard them are spiking.
Guardian is brought to you by BTC, Burger King, the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, Fine Threads, John's Department Store, Joker's Wild, KFC, Nassau Cruise Port, Naughty Johnny's, Percy's and Games, Sun Oil Limited, and Tropical Gyros.
Pass me and them girlfriend a link up.
Hello.
Dog, where you did that when they think tough? No food, clean water, for drink up. Now me and the dog, them a link up. Big truck, 20-inch rim.
The Tuesday, January 23rd edition of Talking Heads is on and popping. Your boy Naughty in your company right up until 6 p.m. on this Tuesday edition. And of course, you know, we're going to be checking in with Freeport on the flip side of the break. And you know how to chime in. I'm going to be talking to Darren Coop. I think Sarah's traveling this week, so we'll be talking to Darren, getting all caught up on everything going on in Grand Bahama. Phone lines are open, 323-6232 in New Providence, 325-4316, 325-4259. Toll-free in any one of the family islands, 242-300-5720, 242-300-5720. Text lines powered by BTC, 422-GR96, that's 422-4796. Stream us live, take us wherever you want to go, guardiantalkradio.com, that's guardiantalkradio.com. Cable channel 969, BTC Flow channel 612, that's how you get it in, that's how you get it on for fresh news, smart talk all day, right here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Quick break. Flip side of the break, we'll be going to Grand Bahama. The Freeport Report is on. We'll be talking with Darren Cooper, and it's all coming up right after this.
Tell the truth, pull it step for Mr. Chin like a Chinese teacher. Yeah, every bad mind fraud them is this. Them parents get corrupt, so them are negative. How much longer you got yet from people? You know, see you're not benefit. These cars with the chips.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
Just because they were cheap, Keisha bought things that she really didn't want. Hungry for deals? Let KFC satisfy your cravings before you do something crazy. Get the new Kentucky Crunch Sandwich with a juicy KFC chicken filet, fresh lettuce, and the perfect amount of mayo topped with a fluffy sesame seed bun for just $5.75. Order your new favorite sandwich online with Messenger or WhatsApp Hi to 557-3663 to start your KFC order today. KFC knows value. It's finger-licking good.
John Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale and Carmichael Road West. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
We're back at you on the Tuesday, January 23rd edition of Talking Heads. And right about now, you know, as you know, each and every Tuesday, there is the Grand Bahama supplement, Grand Bahama news supplement, each and every Tuesday in the Guardian. Today is no different. Fully loaded supplement. We got Darren Cooper chiming in. I know Sarah's traveling, but we got lots to talk about. Darren, what's going on, my brother?
Hey, Naughty, right here, man. Right here in wet Grand Bahama.
It wet down there. It raining down there.
Yeah, man, it's raining down here.
We're not.
We're certain parts of Grand Bahama because they tell me eat my rug dry.
Yeah, up here dry too. I ain't seen no rain either, but anyway, it might be just in your spot. But listen, we got a lot to talk about. And the first thing that jumps up before I even get to the Grand Bahama news, and there's lots to talk about, the Ram Memorial units remain in limbo. legal review over the units. In addition to that, you got boaters and residents safe watching canal dredging taking too long. So we got all of those things to talk about. We got to talk about residents getting used to the exempt app. But this one jumps out on the front page, and they say, boy, I got to talk to Darren with this. Because you know me, I see irony jump out a mile away with what I do for a living, right? And to see the headline, Mitchell tells Pintar to start protecting Grand Bahama Port Authority and insisted that the Grand Bahama Port Authority has neglected the city of Freeport for far too long. But my question is, what has the PLP done?
Well, no, you know, I think...
And to an extent, what has the FNM done? But the PLP is the administration of the day. What have they done the last lap they were in power? What have they done this lap?
You know, Nori, for me, as a Grand Bahamian that has been here for 40-plus years and have seen the growth and development of Grand Bahama, I'm not one who is a fan of the Grand Bahama Port Authority. And I'm not one to be the sider of the Grand Bahama Port Authority. But when we compare Grand Bahama Port Authority with governments, successive governments over the years, it's fair to say that management of our city has been done to our satisfaction. I think, you know, we oftentimes beat the Port Authority over development and over growth throughout our community. But let's paint the scenario over when the Grand Bahama Port Authority had a one-stop shop for investors, we saw growth. When the Port Authority had to have gone through central government for approval for development and investment, we then saw the stagnation of growth. And so back then you had a port that had the management of being able to, within a 10-day span, verify and approve a development. Now you have a Port Authority having to wait for 2 to 3 years for government's approval. There's still the 10-day window process for port, for approval for a new development. But when you now have to go through the government standpoint, and then the government has one central office which deals with the Bahamas, not Grand Bahama, not Nassau, but the Bahamas. So the delay process and the wait process becomes longer. And so I don't think, now one of the things that I'm concerned about, and it was interesting to see that Alfred Says would have joined the conversation last evening as relates to the Port Authority discussion. Tell the people of Grand Bahama, in particular, tell the 3,000 stakeholders, because it's 3,000 of us that's licensed by the port, that is regulated by the port. Tell us actual, not guesstimation, what is the actual bill that we are now going to have to see, or the government saying the port owe them. Tell us what the bill is. You understand? And what is so sad is you are talking to the developers, or you're talking to this company or this body through the media. The port has only been afforded the opportunity to sit with the minister for Grand Bahama, but not the prime minister, not Frederick, even Mitchell, or even Says. But yet only through the public domain, we're getting this flipping back and forth from a bunch of children who don't see the need to sit down and talk to a people that has developed and organized a city that no other islands of the Bahamas can boast and brag about. And Darren Cooper said so. No other island could boast and brag about of a well-organized and developed city called the City of Freeport. So tell the PLP, while the Prime Minister feeding the flipping monkeys and Frederick, like he's trying to...
Excuse me, that was a safari they were on, up close and personal. Don't make fun because you're jealous. You never meant outside of Metro Zoo to feed animals. They gone to Uganda to feed animals.
Naughty, I'm very much jealous.
I was jealous too, because I only went to Metro Zoo twice when I was one. I think, mother sick, mommy, parents going to take me to Metro Zoo. I can go to Uganda and feed them right there in the wild, like brave them.
Naughty, the Grand Bahamian, I get very frustrated to hear the media back and forth over the state of Grand Bahama and the backing forward from our government officials. This is the same PLP government who got funding the PM from the Port Authority for campaigning. This is the same PLP government who sat in the Haywards Anderson George's house before election. This is the same PLP government. Now, all of a sudden, you don't see the worth or value to even acknowledge a conversation. And let me say this. While the PLPs may seek to slap up themselves and make their stupid comments, Darren Cooper and many other business owners have written to the office of the Prime Minister, even the Chamber of Commerce for Grand Bahama, requesting a meeting with the Prime Minister to be able to get a better understanding of where we're going and how we plan to get there as relates to government.
And what has it been the result of that? Or any response to that letter?
No response, Naughty. No acknowledgement of receipt of the email or letter. None. Well, I have gone as far as sending an email. Do you know what Clint Watson said to me? And I have the voice note if he wished to deny it.
Uh-oh.
Clint Watson said to me, Darren Cooper, he said, a meeting of such will never happen, Darren. So take it. And this was when he was the press secretary. He said, take it out your mind. It will not happen. That's his words to me. And guess what? Almost 2 years later, no such meeting has ever happened. So he only could have been talking if me knew. And so I don't want no one to misinterpret or misunderstand the business owners of Grand Bahama. We are the same business owners that Philip Brave Davis and Fred Mitchell and Barbara Cartwright and the Kevin Simmons has sat in numerous of meetings with us when in opposition has refused to meet with us now in government. I met with the opposition PLP 4 times when they were opposition leaders and have not been given the opportunity to voice my concerns. The Prime Minister said to me in the last meeting he had that he is going to be the Prime Minister that hears the concerns of the people of Grand Bahama, and in particular, the business owners. But we have not been able to get our concerns heard to date. Not even an audience of a meeting. We'd only hear to the media he was here, and he left. Okay? So I don't want none of them to mislead. And if anyone wish Naughty to deny, to dispute, or to question, and I don't choose to use speculation. I have facts that I am prepared, based on any of them, to deny it, to publish my voice notes and to publish my WhatsApps, to let them know that this is what you said on this particular day. So I don't have time for the foolishness.
So, you know, I offer, and I hear all what you're saying, Darren, and I know if anybody going to keep the receipts, you will. However,
I have them.
I feel that this is a deflection as well, too, because let's be real. The performance by the PLP in their prior run in Grand Bahama, prior to the Minnis administration, and now has been lackluster, has been poor. Only certain homies, cronies, lovers, and friends seem to be getting anything out of the deal. A lot of talk, no action, a lot of promises, no delivery. And I think that's a big deflection off of, for lack of a better word, off the piss poor performance of this administration in Grand Bahama right now. I think it's just a grand deflection.
You know, I would say this, that whilst the now administration was in opposition, there were several concerns that the business community in Grand Bahama had, especially one of the issues were when we were dealing with the Ministry of Finance and the Department of Customs. And the now Prime Minister, along with Barbara Cartwright, Michael Davil, Kevin Simmons, Barbara Cartwright, would have met with about 6 or 7 business owners who fully understood the saga of finance and customs and what we needed to be addressed. We met with Brave Davis and his team. We were able to voice those concerns. I don't know what happened, but the issues and the concerns we had, the opposition leader and the opposition team were able to mitigate and to have those issues addressed and corrected. The then controller, our acting controller, which he was only in acting, was Gregory Jones. I don't know what the conversation was. They indicated to him as Jonesy, so they knew him. They had a conversation to better understand what was going on, and matters changed. It was nothing illegal that was that we were doing on our end, but there was some things that was slowing down the progress of business. The opposition team, which is now the government, was able to step in. And on three occasions, we met with the opposition, which is now the government, to voice concerns of businesses. And we were able to get our matters heard. We were able to get our matters addressed. And we were able to function as business owners. We thought then that the opposition team, who was giving us the time, the attention, and the energy that we needed to have our issues addressed, we thought that we would have gotten the same thing in government. And we've not been able to, one, be able to levy. We've had the same government who has increased in taxes. We have the same government who has changed procedures and policies. We have the same government that has created a tax compliance for all businesses. We have the same government that's now enforcing the same customs issues and concerns that was impacting us and now ignoring what we were telling them was the problem that they corrected for us in opposition. And so, you know, the business community, hoped for a government that would have been able to be truthful, they would have been able to be transparent, and would have been able to dialogue with us so that we would have been able, one, to understand why they're doing certain things, and two, to be able to help them spread the message of what they're doing and better understand what they're doing and work cohesively with the government to make our Bahamas great. That never happened. We got a government who just was interested in new taxation, didn't care if it hurt, doing what the previous administration did to us. They just did it. And what is also painful, Naughty, is to have the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas as the Minister of Finance. It is now 22 days, and my company is still waiting for a renewed business license from the Ministry of Finance. But yet the Prime Minister is flipping monkeys when I'm still waiting on a business license. You understand? And many other businesses are waiting for renewals and can't get into the site and can't get onto this. There's so many issues. But you got the time and the energy to travel abroad when your ministry. And I oftentimes ask the question, I'm really wondering if Philip Edward Davis is honestly interested in a second term, because the way he's behaving, he can't be interested in a second term as government.
Well, obviously, in their mind, they're doing a wonderful job. I mean,
they know that if you listen to the FNMs now, they will tell you they knew that they had problems, but refused to deal with it. This administration may know they have problems, but just don't care because they're enjoying what comes along with it. And I'm going to ride my 5 years out. I'm going to enjoy this 5 years and I'm going to live off the hog and I'm just going to continue to enjoy because why? I'm going to be a certain age and I don't care to run again because I'm now listed as the Commonwealth of the Bahamas fourth prime minister or third, fifth prime minister and I'm enjoying the life of it.
All right, today is the Grand Bahama Report, the Freeport Report. We're talking to Darren Cooper. Let's go to the phone lines right now. Those people are calling us off to say. Talking Heads, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You have a question for Freeport?
Hey. Naughty.
Hey, what's going on?
Aaron Cole.
This sound like the Papa. What's going on, Papa?
Aaron Cole, that's Mr. Cooper. Who else there?
Only Mr. Cooper. Sarah traveling today.
Okay, Mr. Cooper, Happy New Year.
Same to you, sir.
All right. I always say on these talk shows, the higher the monkey climb, he sure you ran off. I try to understand. You saying the names you call, Ms. Cartwright and Kevin Simmons and the minister, who's the minister over there now, the lady, you say they y'all meet with them before election?
Never met with Ginger Moxie, but I met with Philip Brave Davis, Fred Mitchell, Michael Davil, Barbara Cartwright, and Kevin Simmons on four occasions to address issues that Grand Bahama was faced with as rates to business owners.
They say the Port Authority, some of the people in Freeport saying the PLA trying to take over the Port Authority, and Fred Mitchell saying it ain't no takeover. Whatever it is, right? It really sounds like the business people in Freeport really don't want PLP to go that far. They want the PLP to do their job with the investment and stuff for Grand Bahama, Freeport, to help out in in any situation. But Fred Mitchell, when I listen to him, it sounds like he's saying these people them owe us over 100, him and Alfred says them, over $100 million, and they need to pay. And I listening to you today, you saying, sound like you're saying the licensee, the 3,000 licensee, you guys are the ones who have to pay this money?
Well, you know, I don't know. I don't think it is. We have a set license fee for licensees in Grand Bahama. And I think what we are asking for as the 3,000 licensees is, one, we're asking for a clear understanding of what is going on as relates between the government and the Port Authority. We have met, licensees have met with the Grand Bahama Port Authority, who has an obligation to us to be able to give us information and to inform us of what is going on as relates to the claims of which government is making. The government is saying the Port Authority owes them. And government has also said that there has been an invoice submitted to the Grand Bahama Port Authority. We've questioned the Port Authority about the invoice that the government claims that they would have submitted. There's
Break
never
it down,
been an invoice.
A bill, what that means for the people who might not understand. Invoice.
An invoice of the bill. An invoice of what the government claimed the port owes them. And
yes.
An invoice would then say that you owe me for X, Y, Z. Don't just say I owe you $100 million. Tell me what I owe you the $100 million for. Do I owe you $100 million of garbage clean? Do I owe you $100 million on road? Do I owe you $100 million on tax breaks? What do I owe you? So the government said that they would have submitted, the Prime Minister said in the Honorable House of Assembly, that they would have, the Ministry of Finance would have submitted an invoice to the port. Well, we've asked the port for a copy of the invoice, and no such invoice at that point was sent. And we believe that if there was ever an invoice submitted by Simon Wilson or the Ministry of Finance, we would have had a published copy of that long time.
Not
so
like
we
they
don't
only negotiating or talking in public, but they lying too. Because if they
so
say the people
been,
get an invoice and the people tell you they get no invoice, that's
invoice,
not like that. It's not true.
There's never been an invoice submitted. And we're asking the government to, and then on top of that, the government is now has made, based on Frederick and Alfred says, they have made a decision to take the matter to liquidation.
That means in court,
okay?
Right?
Which means now our city managers finds themselves before the courts, which hinders the growth and the development for the island that has been struggling long enough.
That's a waste
so what
of time.
We are saying, what we are saying to government, this is no need for you to do this arbitration. Why don't you come and sit at the table instead of using the Minister for Grand Bahama, who has to try and explain to the government what you say.
She used to work with them
Bahama,
before, right?
You spent 22 days in a by-election in Grand Bahama, brought the cabinet to Grand Bahama, to 8 Mile Rock, and you refuse to meet with the relevant agencies to be able to hear concerns, address concerns, and mitigate issues that the people have. So tell me, where do you care? What is new about today that was not new about yesterday? You don't care. So if the PLP has a bill that the port owes them, that 3,000 licensees are asking the government to submit the bill, publish the bill, so we can understand it.
Mr.
Understand? Because guess what? The government collects road tax in the city of Freeport. The government collects environmental tax on every car brought into the island. And you know who pays road tax or repairs the roads in the city? You know who moves derelict vehicles? You know who cleaned the city up after a storm? Grand Bahama Port Authority, with no help from the government.
Mr. Cooper, why you believe the Prime Minister in with these people yet? I don't know if you say the licensees and
because
the Chambers of Commerce.
Because
you think it's personal
Edward
intention?
Davis and his no. Philip Edward Davis and his colleagues don't have proper substantial information to be able to build a case. And that's why they're scaring out future investors and scaring out or seeking to scare out the port. Mr. Cooper, man, it's not
personal,
man.
It's not petty and spiteful. That's not petty and spiteful on behalf of
the
leadership of this country right now. The people in Freeport, the business people are asking to have a meeting. Even if you don't have a, even if they don't have a plan, right? Sit down and talk and hear what your plan, what your plan is for Freeport, because ain't nobody should know what better for Freeport than the people in Freeport. And Kevin Simmons.
That's right.
It's the same man who's to make sure we stand here on Old Trail Road who had business in Freeport or who's do business in Freeport.
Let me say this again with Kevin Simmons. Kevin Simmons told Darren Oswald Cooper not to call the office of the Prime Minister.
You know what he told me when we first, when I feel
phone,
like...
Took
I don't
the
know
phone from Miriam Emanuel and tell me I know why you call it. Don't call us back. And that's been over a year ago. I never called back. So
yeah,
all
the Secretary.
In opposition, all that sleep mode they had in opposition, they now change it because they even steak and they even lost. They even Palm Beach no more.
They
so you're now on top of the hill.
I feel like they used the people. I could tell you what I know
they
you say Kevin
Simmons
tell you don't call back no more. I couldn't believe Kevin Simmons. The kind of people the Prime Minister get around him, I never know the Prime Minister would carry on the way he carry on because he always seems like he care to help people. But these people
and
around
Kevin
and
Simmons,
seem to be petty and spiteful. Kevin Simmons.
The same Kevin Simmons we're talking about told an F&M supporter that I am delusional and I crazy. But I
you
the same man, I
you
the same man that the Prime Minister and Kevin Simmons then want hold up a whole meeting until Darren Cooper get there to talk. I was an delusional and crazy. I was valuable.
Yeah, they use us. They use the people. Kevin Simmons tell me, say, boy, Papa, boy, after we went in 2016 supporting and helping Brave to be Prime Minister, say, I must be careful what I say on the radio because I get children to feed. I couldn't believe the man had the audacity to tell me that. But after time and past 2 years, the proof was in the pudding. They showed just how they thinking. This a bunch of petty, spiteful people. These people them really don't care about us. This is intentional. I don't want you to believe. Tell me something before I go. I hang up and listen right now. All them things they promised them people in West End and Grand Bahama and Bimini, they start doing these things, yeah? I know this only like
the
1 or 2 months later, but they
the
start
park,
anything yet.
Park.
I hang up and listen. Keep up the good work, Naughty.
No problem, Papa. Always good to hear
Papa,
from you, brother.
Papa, the Holmes Rock Park that the PLP would have stopped the F&M, the opposition from putting together for the people before the election. That was stopped under the PLP. Nothing to date. I just came in from Holmes Rock before I called into the show. Nothing to date has started on that park. The West End Association, whatever they want to call themselves, are still trying to come to grips that they won. The road now is begin to a bunch of potholes are now showing up. No patching. So it was a bunch of talks. Nothing on the police station. Nothing on the Defense Force base, no jobs, no seawall, nothing has started. I can't tell you if it is going to start, but I can tell you to date, from November 22nd to now, nothing is new about West Grand Bahama and Bimini. Nothing.
All right, let's get to the phone lines. We got two other calls on there. Let's try to get them in quick. Good stuff, Papa. Talking Heads, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Who's this?
Hey, Naughty, what's happening, man?
What's going on, Jeff?
My brother, I listened to this conversation today with great interest. You know, first and foremost, let's put it like this. I mean, there's enough blame to go around for things that has been going on in Grand Bahama. In my standpoint, seeing that I visit Grand Bahama regularly, and also that I have family in Grand Bahama, it's a sin and shame for persons to come on here and particularly attack. For instance, the Grand Bahama Port Authority, who has done an excellent job in Freeport proper, because I believe as part of the Hawksbill Creek Agreement, their primary focus should have been Freeport, which is the central hub of Grand Bahama. They have done an excellent job. I've heard comments such as the sanitary of Grand Bahama, keeping the place clean, keeping everything flourishing properly in Grand Bahama proper. I mean, Freeport proper, that has been achieved. Now, not saying that it's a perfect grouping. There are some missteps that need to be addressed. However, to throw them under the bus in the manner that it has been done is atrocious. Let's look at the rest of Grand Bahama that is under the purview of successive governments. Successive governments have neglected Grand Bahama to a great extent. Now, this current administration, let's look at this current administration. Chautauqua, there were a laundry list of different prospects for persons who were interested in the airport as well as the hotel. To date, we have heard promises, but oh, this deal was going to come through by X amount of time, so on and so forth, and those deals have fallen through. The bottom line here is Grand Bahama has been on life support for quite some time, okay, in terms of the economy. And for anyone, I don't care whether it's PLP or FNM, to come on this radio or even to put in the public domain that the government has done sufficient to try and revive the economy of Grand Bahama, it is ludicrous from my standpoint. There's so much to be done. The empowerment of the Bahamian people, relaxing some of the taxes, and business opportunities for these people to get involved in, I believe that the government can do a lot better in helping these people to get themselves on their feet. Lastly, the average Bahamian I know do not want handouts. And talking about handouts and everything for the average Bahamian, especially the ones who are accustomed to working through blood, sweat, and tears to get what it is that they want, and then to be told that, hey, in order for you to get to the next level, you have to vote PLP or vote FNM, that is totally ludicrous. So we have a country to fix. We have Grand Bahama. We have to restore and get it back on its feet in order for the economy of the Bahamas to run efficiently. Abaco is next in line. We have to get that back up on its feet, running efficiently for the economy to begin to prosper again. And I don't want to hear no talk from any political party with this garbage that they have out here until they are willing to sit with the people and find a way with the people's involvement to get this economy forward, upward, onward, and we do it together. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, Jeff, no problem. Always good to hear from you, bro. Let's go. Go ahead, Darren.
You know, the caller made some valid points and so forth, right? And I got a call today from Straw Vendors in Port Lakaya. I got a WhatsApp from Straw Vendors in Port Lakaya, and they were talking about, you know, the Minister for Bahama talking about the orange economy. And during the month of December, they gave out quite a bit of money during a government grant for the orange economy for those that are in that field, straw vendors and craft personnel. And, you know, I remember that a group of straw vendors would have speak out against the government and what was going on. This is the same administration when I would have reached out to Chester Cooper and said, listen to me, sir. The vendors in Port Lakaya are seeking to do a demonstration. They've reached out to me to support them and to assist them in a demonstration. I believe before we go into a demonstration, could you try and mitigate and listen to their issues? So whilst many may say, oh, Darren, seeking to play politics and trying to speak or paint a picture, a negative picture of government, I tried to see how best we can help the people. They were promised. They were given $500 when to stop the protest. Each vendor, some 300 and some vendors in Grand Bahama, was given $500 from the Ministry of Grand Bahama to stop them from protesting.
Wow!
They were promised to set up
and still not nothing.
Set up for the boardwalk for tourists to come. Nothing to date, and those vendors have now been blacklisted from any government orange economy grants that are given out.
Wow. Okay?
So if you are a someone who speaks,
that sounds victimization to me.
You now become blacklisted and victimized because you need to shut up until they come to you. That's not the way it works. We are Bahamians. We are the same Bahamians that vote on any election day. I voted for the PLP. Let the record reflect that.
Let's get to this call real quick, Darren, before our time runs out on us. Talking Heads, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Who's this? Talking Heads.
Hey, Naughty.
Hey, bro. What you got for me? Oh, now, Anton, you see, you called right at the last 2 minutes, and now you can tell me I can cut you off. You got 2 minutes. Make it work, Anton. Go.
Good afternoon, Naughty. How you doing?
I'm good, brother. I'm good.
All right. And Darren, how you doing?
I'm good, man.
Boy, this, I don't know what's going on today, Naughty. This beat up the government day.
Well, I guess we're trying to get some answers as to what's really going on in Grand Bahama with the Port Authority and Mr. Mitchell's stance.
I all get from that to characters around the Prime Minister.
What's that?
How you all get from talking about the government's invoice?
It's a broad conversation there, Antoine. You know how you go. One thing leads to another, then we talk. So don't go there now.
And to be able to help understand that we in Grand Bahama has done all within our powers and our reach to try and reach the Prime Minister to let him know we need to talk.
See, I think what Mr. Cooper's trying to say, Antoine, is several business owners sent a letter to the Prime Minister, which he and his office has not responded to. Not even had the common courtesy to respond and set up a meeting.
But Naughty.
So I guess that's how you end up in this.
Hey, Naughty.
Uh-huh.
Naughty.
Yeah, go ahead, Antoine.
Yeah, but didn't Darren just said someone, not the Prime Minister, but someone working from his office told him not to call a year ago and he hasn't called back since?
Well, if that's the stance they take it.
Which means they've never acknowledged the letter. So we need to call to follow up on the letter. And Kevin Simmons took the phone from Miriam and said, we know why you are calling. Don't call back. We'll get to you. And it's been a while.
Which means
they got the letters.
You got Antoine saying, boy. You don't really get Antoine saying, too much now.
I want to speak, but he's still going on with his point, even though I didn't get it. So I just want to add something in there. And that's why I'm saying, as a gesture to say, well, I want to interject something. Naughty and Darren, look, the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas is Philip Davis, not Kevin Simmons, first and foremost, right? He doesn't speak on behalf of the Prime Minister who was elected, right? That's the second point. And so I want to say that publicly and encourage you, Darren, and the business persons down there in Grand Bahama, if you all have set out to communicate with the Prime Minister and you all haven't gotten a response in a reasonable time, I want to encourage you all in the strongest fashion to reach out to the Prime Minister again, because what you all expressed that was communicated to you is nothing of the kind of person, human being or man, the Prime Minister Philip Davis is. He's not that kind of person. And I heard you too, Papa. I heard you too. And the Prime Minister is certainly not the kind of person who believes in victimizing people. Although I would encourage the Prime Minister, based on what you are expressing, Darren, and which concerns me greatly, to have that spill over into the public domain in particular, and based on what Papa expressed, I would encourage you all to give it a second or a third shot to reach out to the Prime Minister through the...
Let me ask you this, Darren. Why does the office of the Prime Minister take so long to respond to Grand Bahama? But when Life of Key sent them a letter, there's two backflips and James Brown splits placating Life of Key. Why are they jumping action so quick? Peter's not better than Paul.
Naughty, also to the caller. Hold on, caller. I want to say this to you.
Okay.
There's something called protocol.
I agree.
Okay? I have the direct number for the president of the Grand Bahama Port Authority. I have direct numbers for the principal owners of the Grand Bahama Port Authority. I can call them, but when I ask for a meeting, you know what they say? Check the office to be able to get XYZ. I have a number for Philip Brave Davis. Not been able to get him on it or a response from the 9th of September, 2020.
You might need an international phone calling plan for that, Darren, since he's international so much.
If I am reaching out to the office of the Prime Minister, which is Miriam Emanuel, the recognized secretary of the Prime Minister, and Kevin Simmons, who I call the left hand of the Prime Minister, and to Clint Watson, who is the press secretary of the Prime Minister, to say we are requesting a meeting. Let me say this to you, caller. I got a call from a PLP general who told me to organize a room, set it up for a meeting. The Prime Minister would be here to bury George Curtis in Grand Bahama on this time, and he will meet with you and 16 business owners after. He never showed up.
So, Darren, can you hear me?
He paid for the room, and he never showed up.
Can you hear me, Darren?
I don't believe that the Prime Minister is like that. But hey, he's showing a different behavior.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah, go ahead, Antoine.
Can hear you.
The rap music playing, so get it in quick.
Okay, all right. Thank you, Naughty. Several of those persons whose names you called no longer serve the capacities that they served in at the time that you were speaking of. And so I would encourage you, Mr. Cooper, to reach out through the protocols or through the appropriate channels to the Prime Minister's office, whoever is seeking the meeting along with yourself. I would encourage you all as a grouping to reach out to the Prime Minister or reach out to the Prime Minister, reach out to the PM through the Minister of Grand Bahama.
Listen, right? The Freeport Business Association, no later than January of 2020, a follow-up reminder of a request meeting with the Prime Minister and business owners of Grand Bahama. We have also sent a reminder, 2024 we're talking about now, it's only 22 days in this new year, reminder to the Minister of Grand Bahama that we are still hoping to meet with her and with the Prime Minister. And it's only 22 days.
Now, tomorrow's so open line Wednesday. We can pick this convo up tomorrow if y'all guys want to continue it, because it is a good one. But I do have to get to the news, so I'm not cutting you off.
Thank you for the opportunity.
No problem, man.
I'm not even for the call to go. You have the connection with the Prime Minister. Please let him know.
I was just telling him.
I'm a business community. Is hoping to meet with him and meet with him sooner than soon.
You heard him, man, Anton. I know you're tight. Get that message, and I know you're in brave tight.
I'm certain everyone is listening now. Thank you for the opportunity, Naughty. God bless.
No problem. You too, brother. Be safe. Texas, I'll pick you all up. Be safe, Darren. We'll talk to you again next week. Thanks so much, brother. Quick break into the news. On the flip side of the news, we're talking sports. Don't touch it.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Struggling to repay your loan? Let us help you get back on track with payment terms that suits your financial situation and improve your credit score and credit report with the Bahamas Credit Bureau. Inquire about our restructured loans today. Call us at 356-7764.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Just because they were on sale, Max bought things that he and his friend really didn't need. Hungry for deals? Let KFC satisfy your cravings before you do something crazy. Get a KFC 6-piece value deal with 6 pieces of juicy fried chicken, 3 orders of crispy fries, and 3 buttery biscuits, all for only $20. Order your new favorite deal online with Messenger or WhatsApp high to 557-3663 to start your KFC order today. Nobody does value like KFC, and it's finger-licking good.
Play with Island Games.
We making dreams come true.
Play with Island Games.
We paying more out to you. Don't mind the noise in the market. You getting cash in your pocket.
Cause Island Games is spicy, and spicy is tradition.
So when you
play Island Games
first, guaranteed to pay.
Island Games.
We like them other jokers. We've been here from the start, from the bike to computer.
Island Games.
We can make your dreams come true.
We playing with Island Games.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Foreign Currency brings you the African Giant live in concert. Burna Boy. Burna Boy performing live Saturday, February 17th, taking place at Clifford Park. Also performing Rich Homie Quan, 38 Afri, Tremor, Spinning Gate 2024. Get tickets now. This one is a must that you're there.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking.
We are now inviting passengers on board for the new JetBlue CIBC First Caribbean Credit Card. Earn up to 30,000 bonus TrueBlue points with your first transaction and earn on everyday purchases. Plus, get up to 10,000 anniversary bonus points every year after. Please fasten your seatbelts and prepare for takeoff. Visit CIBCFCIB.com/JetBlue for more information on where Blue can take you.
Refined style with elegant taste, then fine threads is your place. If you want those slacks hemmed or just taking the waist, then fine threads is your place. If you want to look suave and debonair everywhere you go, like you're supposed to be in a video. Want to step out and look great, then fine threads is your place. Refined style with elegant taste, then fine threads is your place.
We're back at you on the Tuesday, January 23rd edition of Talking Heads. And listen, everybody who texted in for that first hour, I made a note of all these texts. We're going to pick them up tomorrow when I open up the lines on Wednesday. All right? And we'll be able to pick that and a couple other conversations up as well.
What did I miss?
Well, a lot. Uh-huh. Let's go to the phone lines real quick. I can get this out of the van. Hopefully.
My mic on?
Yeah, your mic on. Okay. Talking Heads, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Who's that?
What's up, Lord? It's in Petersburg. What's up, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, St. Pete? What's happening?
Hey, look, your boy. Them boys are putting up some points last night, right?
Which one?
Thinking about Embiid scored 70.
Oh, 70. Yeah. You're talking about Joel with his 70 points and 17 rebounds.
And then Kidd and Minnesota had 62 to get beat. He pulled a Jordan.
I'll be honest with you, man. I applaud the 70. I applaud the 60. But when you witness 81...
Yeah.
Nothing really comes close to that when you witness 81.
Of course, yeah. You know, they said, you know, hey, it's not, you know.
And if you really look at it, you could argue Kobe's 81-point performance, if you want to look at it in the modern era, you could equate that to what Wilt did in his time.
Yes, it is.
Because the competition was not as strong when Wilt scored his 100 as when Kobe dropped his 81. But I can leave that because I don't want to take nothing away from Will's legacy. But nobody could ever touch 20,000 women in a lifetime either like Will. Will said he should have 20,000 women, Pearly.
I saw that. And he said something, he had 7 or 9 a night.
Man, no wonder. Listen, no wonder you pass away, you know, at a young age. At 60, man, the heart gave up.
Magic said he was with 2,000.
So Will got him beat by 18,000.
Yeah. They probably got me beat like by 2,979, somewhere around there, you know?
I'm taking the trip on that one. You know, man, you know, today is a bittersweet day for me, man. In them big 6 years, my son got killed, but he got hit by a car, man. So
man. We with you, man. We're keeping you in our thoughts and prayers, man.
Yeah, I just, me and my other son just left his grave, you know, clean it up and put the flowers on it, you know. Yeah. And he died January 23rd. 2018 and his birthday coming up Sunday. Died 7 days for his 27th birthday. So
may his soul rest in peace.
Yeah, man. You know, that was my first speech, you know what I'm saying?
But you know, you're doing a good thing though. You're still paying, you know, you're still, you know, honoring the memory and
as long as I'm alive, man, you know what I'm saying? Every year I go to, you know, go to his grave on his birthday, you know, put the new flowers and say a little prayer, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's like we all got to go someday, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, life, what the old folks say, our kids are supposed to bury us, we're supposed to bury our kids, you know what I'm saying?
No, that's one thing. And, you know, the sad thing about it is over here, we're going through that a lot as well because we're losing a lot of young men.
And some women.
And women now to this scourge of violence.
Yeah, man. But, you know, and with all the violence in the Bahamas, man, the people got to warn better, man. You know, You could change government every month. You know, if the people don't want to change, man, they gotta wake up, man, because it's sad, you know what I'm saying? And like it's just Nassau itself. It ain't the Bahamas, it's just Nassau, man. It's Nassau, you know.
No, you're creeping out into the Family Islands now. You had two shootings in Abaco. One was a fatality. I'm still trying to figure out what happened in the second incident.
Yep.
So you do have Family Island incidents.
But you know, but right now for capital in the Bahamas, right now, I think we're really leading the Caribbean in murders now, man.
No. Jamaica still got us.
By capital, I thought, but you know,
Jamaica averaging 40 something per 100,000.
Jesus, Lord of
Lot of mercy.
Lot of mercy. Hey, man, y'all be safe, man.
You too, my brother, and stay encouraged. And I hope the rest of the day goes really well for you, man.
Yeah, man. Hey, the Lakers gonna win the championship this year.
Not even on PlayStation, my brother. Not even on PlayStation. And I'm a Laker. Let's get to the next call. Be safe, brother. Talking Heads, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Who's that?
Been commenting on that.
Talking Heads.
Marty, you hear me?
I can hear you now. Who's this?
Yeah, that's Dad, Happy North.
Hello. Hey, what's going on, Happy?
Everything cool, man. Listen, hey, Brady, how you doing?
I good, my brother. I good. What's happening?
Yeah, I meant to call yesterday, but I wanted to, whatever day that was. I wanted to...
That could only be yesterday. Today is Tuesday. I'm happy. So you only missed Monday.
Life's so good, you don't know what day it is.
But, hey, give me some of that with you drinking.
Huh? Yeah.
Give me some of that with you sipping.
Yeah, man. Listen, it's what you make of it.
Yeah.
But we're talking about the crime thing, and I am convinced that my life is an example of how sports is, to me, the answer to what we're experiencing now. Sports and civic activities. And particularly when the government was introduced stuff like sports in paradise and stuff. So all those type of things need to be encouraged, because what it does is it builds discipline, familyhood, all that kind of stuff in there. I had 15 coaches, all of whom were fathers to me. My father wasn't in the house with me when I was growing up, right? So, I mean, I might have looked like a privileged child and stuff like that, but when you look at it, you know, it ain't much different. And, you know, my life get turned around. So, and I think that is the issue or the answer that we need to do. What's your thoughts on that?
I think we do need our more youth sports programs and have them funded by the private sector as well as the government, you know, amicably and fairly. And at the same time, we need to look at where the world's going sports-wise and how much talent we have here. And we need to implement the right sports programs, because I've always said the best gang to get into is the sports team. Yep. That's the best gang to ever get into.
Yep.
Play sports.
Yep.
Yeah, and on a corporate point, I 100% agree, because I remember a couple of years back, round with a couple of business people who were complaining about.
But if we're going to do it.
People who coming out of the business, out of schools, and I say, well, what are you all doing to help improve that quality, right? Put your money where your mouth is.
Yep. And see, the thing is, what we have to do if we're going to do it, no matter how much money we get invested and no matter how pretty we make the fields look or for whatever discipline they are, we have to eliminate the good old-fashioned Bahamian politics, which is rear its ugly head in everything.
Yeah, but that comes from the people. I'm not easy.
Well, that's if we're going to do it, then we have to do it right. It got to come. We got to come correct with it. You asked me what my opinion was. I think we got a lot of potential to do it. But I know my people and I know how we go. And I know some of the negative factors that will creep in there and mess the whole thing up.
Right. And that's why I'm saying that we come from the whole people, though. Everybody got to step up, because the few is going to apply and they're not going to stop until they get their way. But if everybody who know better step forward and keep applying, then the masses will rule.
Correct. It has to be done in a way where everybody benefits from it, and it's a standard. And if, as administrations change, they recognize the standards in place and they don't mess with it.
Right. And we have to enforce. We have to force them to not change it. So, but before I go, Naughty, I just want to highlight, tell people stuff, get up a tour back. Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl. Done two in a win now as delinquent as him. So, I want the Dolphins get their right.
So, what you're saying is the Dolphins got to get a lights out defense coached by Marvin Lewis and two of them, y'all, a Super Bowl? Is that what you're saying?
Well, a little bit more than that, but I mean, we got a little bit more to go than just that.
I think offensively.
System around him, he could win.
I think offensively, with the skill players you have, you're there. I think you need to add a tight end, a couple of linemen, but you should be fine offensively. But you might take some losses on the defensive side, though, in free agency, including
Christian Wilkins.
Well, guess what's the number one? Guess where he's targeted number one to go?
Dallas.
The Dallas Cowboys. You need a Hog Murray in the middle, baby.
number 21 prospect out of college is a defensive tackle out of Texas, and he's NFL ready.
No.
On a serious note, the Dolphins got to make some serious decisions. See, Christian Wilkinson can want close to $20 million a year. We already 45, almost $50 million over the salary cap. We got to make some decisions. We can lose people like Agbar. We can lose Xavier Howard. We can lose one or two other players because we got to bring that money down if we intend on paying Christian Wilkinson. If not, we have to let him walk.
No, I agree. And I'm saying that, but don't fall in naughty with that stuff. It's not going to set you up.
No,
but
Dallas is his front runner. That's the top of the ground.
Listen, Matthew, when he signed in Dallas, I can call you right out on the radio and let you know I told you so. Because I tell you, I follow my team. We need a defensive tackle. We need to stop the run. And
Naughty, I'm a realist. I expect those people to leave. There's the Dolphins, we build on the
That's good. Y'all ain't got a center from us in Connor Williams and a wide receiver in what he named Wilson. So we may as well get Wilkins off you, right?
I ain't sure, but I mean,
you too, Dale. Be safe. Always good to hear from you. All right, let's get today in sports history in there. Partly all brought to you, of course, by Naughty Johnny's. Well worth the trip out there to Naughty Johnny's. And don't forget, every Wednesday and Friday, 5 to 7 p.m., happy hour at Naughty Johnny's. And on this day, January 23rd, here's what happened. 1879, the National Archery Association was organized in Crawfordsville, Indiana. 1944, the Detroit Red Wings set records for the most goals, most consecutive goals, and most points in a game. The Red Wings beat the New York Rangers 15-0 and had a total of 37 assists. 1950, the NFL owners approved the unlimited substitution rule that has been used on a trial basis since 1949, and now it was implemented, and obviously it stands to this day. 1966, the Detroit Red Wings ended a streak of 47 straight wins when leading after two periods. The streak started on November 21st, 1964. 1982, Diana Ross performed the U.S. National Anthem at the Super Bowl. That would have been Super Bowl 16, I think. 1985, O.J. Simpson became the first Heisman Trophy winner to be elected to Pro Football's Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. 1988, at the Quaker State Open, Bob Benoit won a $100,000 bonus and became the first bowler to win a televised tournament by rolling a perfect 300 game. 2002, the NHL fined Theo Fleury of the New York Rangers $1,000 for making an obscene gesture to fans after a game the night before. And your sports quote of the day, I'm going to become a hog farmer. After some of the things I've been through, I regard it as a step up. Al Conover, a former Rice football coach. And there was a period of time there when the Rice football program sucked.
Couldn't buy a touchdown.
They used to get minors, and I used to watch them on satellite when we first got it back in the day.
I remember.
And they used to be getting beat like 48-0 at the half.
Yeah, that was terrible.
That program really sucked. I can't tell you a word of lie.
Ah, boy.
That's a wrap on today in sports history, all brought to you, of course, by Naughty Johnny's. All right, let's get out into the local home scene. All brought to you, of course, by Burger King Nassau. And you know, BK got those Whopper deals going on. Be sure to check them out. All right?
Next page. Write that one in the back. No, next section.
Oh, next section. Man, you sitting there, you could have got the next section, right? You know? But anyway.
I do apologize.
Anyhow, where is in the next section?
Just show me. Open that up right there.
A kind of compunculization going on.
There you go. All right.
Now we got 20 Carifta qualifiers. Carifta qualifiers near 20. Young athletes have a loaded season in front of them. So there's ample opportunity there, yes, for them to qualify.
Yeah, they haven't had the trials yet. That's not till March.
I heard some rumblings out of track and field, though, Pearly.
What'd you hear?
I heard some rumblings. I still doing my due diligence.
What'd you hear? Maybe I may know something.
I heard about a certain meeting might not take place.
I'm hearing the same rumor. Negro, you really can connect it.
Wow.
I heard the rumor too. I'm trying to find out some things about it, and my contact is not returning calls to me.
Why is the contact not returning calls?
I don't know.
Did that team lose in an embarrassing fashion?
No. The person's pretty close to me. They're not saying returning calls to me. I might be in timeout. You know, my family like put you in timeout.
Anyhow, work on that so we know.
I'm trying to find out, but you know.
DeAndre Ayton returns from knee tendonitis against Buddy Hield in the Pacers. So you gotta, you know.
Yeah.
You got a Bahamian vibe going on now. And Avion Pride wins the national chess title. So there you go. That's some of the local stuff.
You play chess?
No, I play checkers.
I played chess for 1 month.
I don't play chess.
I learned it.
I mean, I play chess in life.
No, I play checkers. I play chess.
On the board, I play checkers.
I play chess. Yes, went to my cousin's. My cousin was burning. I said, "Listen, I got this new game. I'm playing." I said, "Chess." He said, "Let me teach you." Came back a month later, couldn't beat him at all. I stopped.
Yeah, I prefer cards. I like whist and stuff like that. I like to play those kind of games.
Blackjack, stuff like that.
Yeah, I like whist though. You turn up deuce of clubs on you too.
If you're that good.
I'm a veteran like that, boy. I play.
See, I'm Roman Catholic. You know, we have best tournament like crazy in the Catholic Church, you know.
Yeah, I know.
My dad and the late George Sherman, they used to have some nice best tournaments. And you play, you know, it used to be fun playing best tournament. I mean, you know, they ain't playing for little prizes. You ain't paying for nothing much.
Yeah, but at the end of the day.
Hot dogs and stuff, you know, but it was fun.
At the end of the day, you turn that deuce a club, boy.
Yeah.
He's a real best veteran if you do that.
Yeah, but we have the church making a big best tournament going on.
Always.
All day.
That's true. That is very true.
Yeah. So I see that the who's in and who's out.
Yeah. All brought to you, of course, by Tropical Gyro. Hey, the Fox made a big move.
No, before we do that, Naughty. That
full, go ahead.
That
go
full
ahead.
Pork salad.
Go ahead.
I love that full pork salad. Oh my goodness. The pork is seasoned just right, and the salad dressing. Oh, the chin. Anyway, let's move on.
Let's go to the phone lines real quick before we get into this.
Ah, boy.
Talking Heads, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Who's this? Talking Heads.
Hey, this is Naughty.
Hey, what's going on?
All is well, Billy.
What do you say, boy?
How'd go?
Everything cool.
Let's see, I want to find out from you all something, right?
Uh-huh.
I hear some kind of rumors about what he named. What you call his name from by who with Cleveland now.
Who, Donovan Mitchell?
Right.
That's Spider, right?
Concerning him, if not him, Trey
Young. Yeah, there's talk that the Lakers is targeting one of those two.
So yeah. DeJounte Murray's now, that deal's dead?
They say that deal could be dead, yeah.
So, really?
Hey.
What do you all think about that?
Listen, I like Trae Young. Trae Young is a playoff savvy. He plays crappy all season, but when playoff time come around, the brother got his game, and he's scared of crappy. He had Atlanta make some good runs. I don't have a major problem with either of those two coming. Depends on who we giving up for them, though. If it's Reeves, I have a problem.
I don't think they give up Reeves,
you know. But they also talking about DeAndre Drummond. Is it Andre Drummond? DeAndre Drummond's as well? As a rim protector, as a backup rim protector.
He's playing good. He's playing with Chicago, right?
I think he's been on. Yeah, I think I can't remember where he's at. Yeah, that's been talks.
But
the Lakers are going to make a move in another week or so. They're going to make a move. Who they going to make the move for? Every day is somebody different they targeting, you know? And the problem is the Lakers don't have much to give up. So in order to get what you want, they don't have much to give up unless you make a decision.
Look at them. Well, as them there, they do offensive Google.
But I'll also tell you another good thing that Naughty would like to hear. That LeBron James has a team option next year for $50 million. And I understand him and the team has not have a conversation about it yet. So it may be leaning that the Lakers are not looking at
you're talking about trades, caller. Here's something that just popped up. A new look to the Zach LaVine trade is being revisited.
Yeah, I saw that.
A three-team trade to get LaVine to the Lakers, tip off the Bulls rebuild, and let the Oklahoma City Thunder go all in. Apparently, this is the deal that they have out there. The Chicago Bulls received D'Angelo Russell, Davis Bertans, Jalen Hood-Schifino, a 2024 first-round pick from OKC, a 2026 second-round pick from OKC, and a 2029 first-round pick from the Lakers.
That's all the Lakers got left.
Those Chicago Bulls will give up Zach LaVine and Andre Drummond. The Los Angeles receive. The Lakers will receive Zach LaVine and Aaron Wiggins.
Mm.
Aaron Wiggins. He comes over from the Thunder.
Thunder?
Yeah. Now, the Lakers will lose D'Angelo Russell, Rui Hachimura, Jalen Schifino, and the 2029 first-round pick.
That's a bad move.
Oklahoma City receives Rui Hachimura and Andre Drummond, and the Oklahoma City Thunder will lose Aaron Wiggins, Davis Bertans, and the picks.
That'd be a bad move for the Lakers.
Naughty.
Zach LaVine and Aaron Wiggins would come in. Now, I'm thinking Aaron Wiggins may be a big or a rim protector. I got to pull him up.
Yeah.
Okay.
But Zach LaVine comes in and provides scoring. I have a problem with this. If you're going to trade to Chicago, then you got to get the White Mamba, Alex Caruso, back in the deal and bring him back to L.A.
Yeah, I would like for them to bring us
back. Good backup point guard, good defensive player, can make the second unit run. I think LaVine is shot, to tell you the truth. I really don't like this deal at all. I would have preferred the DeJounte Murray deal because he's young. And for life after LeBron, he's an asset to have in L.A. However,
is it Andrew Wiggins or Andre?
Aaron Wiggins.
Spell that first name.
I'll tell you right now how they spell it. A-A-R-O-N, Aaron Wiggins.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So that's what they're looking at. And that might be put out there now, too, because apparently Atlanta wants a third team involved in the trade for D'Angelo Russell. They're willing to make the trade with the Lakers, but they want to involve a third team. I guess they don't want to take on Russell. They want to ship him somewhere else. So we'll see how it goes. But when's the trade deadline, Purdy?
It's coming up pretty cool, pretty quick.
In the next couple of days. So you'll see a lot of stuff, a lot of lies, to tell you the truth, flying, because GMs will put out bogus information in order to protect their deals and sabotage other people's deals. It's very cutthroat. But I think the Lakers will get something done because they need to get something done. They're 22-22.
And you're getting him tonight, Clipper.
He's only 6'3".
So then he's a guard.
Yeah.
As a guard.
So that's another guard.
Unless he's a defensive player.
Obviously, at 6'3", he's probably a point and shoots the three ball pretty decent.
Yeah.
Yeah. He probably could play good D, too.
So we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Anyhow, what you all think with the game tonight?
I'm concerned about that game tonight.
Well, against the Clippers?
Lakers, they're inconsistent, man.
Huh?
They're not. They should beat the Clippers because if they play like they play against the last game, they should beat the Clippers. But
they didn't beat the Clippers twice, you know.
Yeah, but they inconsistent.
See, let me show you something. And LeBron's not playing tonight against the Clippers. It's already been announced he's not
LeBron
playing.
Hamlin?
No.
Oh Lord, being of it then.
And I can be honest with you, I'm sitting here kind of with a semi smile on my face because I look at the whole tenure of LeBron in LA, and I was right. I said he was not going to deliver when he came to L.A. The bubble championship is an asterisk. We didn't do anything since then. We didn't qualify for the playoffs the following year. We've been on the bubble the year after that. We're going to be on the bubble again this year. It's time for him to pack up shop. We don't need to re-sign him. Let him go. It didn't work out. Let him go chase a ring with Kyrie and our old boy. Who's the Luka Doncic over there in Dallas? Let him go chase a ring over there and mess up that team too.
So what will happen next year when he go? Who we bring into the league?
And I will tell you all, I told you so, because at the end of the day, as soon as LeBron leaves, I got out of ball of wins, I got out of ball of losses, I got out of everything.
He's good. He's gone. Who you getting, man? Who you getting?
Early, I will take great pleasure in seeing that money spent with a bunch of young and upcoming talented players and watch that team blossom behind a young coach.
So you willing to take a 3-year step back?
That's the fun of it.
Okay, all right. Okay.
That's the fun of it.
Okay.
And in the process, we're going to get rid of LeBron, get rid of AD too.
Oh, so you just want, you talking about gutting the whole team and starting over?
So
you're talking about a 5 to 6 year
as leader. Seth Rollins would say in the WWE, burn it.
So you've been in the debate another 6-7 years.
It wouldn't be another 6-7 years because she got young talent on there that we keep that. He matched up with the new set. It wouldn't be 5 or 6 years. It'll be 3 or 4. So it'll be a 3 or 4.
A long time to wait. But I mean, I guess my Dodgers will be winning championships until such time.
Tell Roberts messed that up.
That's what you hoping.
That's what I know.
That's what you hoping.
Just how McCarthy screwed the Cowboys, Roberts screwed the Dodgers. Can I get an amen?
Yes, better as he screwed the Dodgers last. Not last year.
Did y'all make it to the World Series?
Shit, everybody bad went dead.
What happened?
Mookie Betts about 3 for 39.
What happened the year before when you were that guy and Roberts cost you?
Roberts didn't cost us. Kershaw got hurt. Players got hurt.
Listen, I make excuses for my Cowboys, dude. I make excuses for the Cowboys, dude.
Ain't nothing he can do to blow it this year.
But you sound like me talking like the Cowboys.
There's nothing he can do to blow it this year.
You sound like me talking about the Cowboys.
But yeah, but guess what? The good thing about it is, unlike the Cowboys, if he don't do it this year,
who?
CYC.
If like the Cowboys, if McCarthy don't do it this year.
McCarthy should have been going this year.
He out of here with you, Red Bull.
You're giving McCarthy one more year. We giving him this year. We give you everything you need to win the championship this year.
No, we didn't give McCarthy another year. He had another year left on his contract.
Y'all should get rid of him.
But guess what? When you look at it.
Oh, I want to hear this spin.
What I'm hearing is.
You should get into politics, because you could spin, but.
No, because I don't like swinging people.
All right, I got you.
Only way I get into politics is this, right here. If y'all won't vote for me, I can tell y'all just like this. In true Bahamian fashion, if I go by based on the politicians that I've seen and grown up around.
Uh-huh.
Not saying this is my personal feeling, but if I were into politics, you know, you got to have a game plan or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Well, I would like to let all y'all know that if y'all vote for me, in 5 years, I will come out significantly richer than I did when I went in. But I take in as many of y'all with me as I can.
Make me rich. I good.
I'd be prime minister then, hey. But I for that. I'd rather be right here on the sidelines doing what I need
having
to do.
Fun.
No, because I feel that Joe Public always needs a voice.
I'd rather be the kingmaker than the king.
Bingo. How more fun that'd be.
Yeah.
More perks there, too.
Yeah.
Because when the king got to be the king, you can still be behind the scenes having fun.
You can ask me to get out. The king can't do that.
You could ask that. I can't do that either.
Like, well, you know.
Nor do I want to do that.
Yeah. No, I know you want to.
Nor do those Dodgers would choke again and disappoint Purdy.
Jeff.
You're
Jeff.
Only trying to be a good friend and prepare Purdy for the inevitable. You are a true good friend to Purdy, Norty.
You know, Jeff, I love you to death, you know, Jeff. But guess what? Yankees ain't gonna do no better.
Norty and Purdy, if LBJ is not interested in signing, trade him now.
The only problem is who will take him.
Dallas will take him right now.
We need a first round pick, at least a second round pick early.
Boy, I tell you.
Boy, that'd be interesting, though. The quicker you go, the better, though.
Yep. He got to do something.
We'll see what happens. We will see. Time will tell.
And my thing about it is, I think it's going to be a nasty breakup with LeBron.
No, it won't be. Because he pisses off, we'll go draft Bronny.
No, we ain't dropping Bronny. Bronny can't score a point right now, Purdy.
Yeah, but he's a freshman, right?
Purdy, you can't go to USC with that pedigree and that hype and don't score no points in your first three games.
You seriously ain't scoring nothing?
No, over. Over. The first two, he was over.
He did. I thought he did a good job that night against someone else.
But I didn't check that one. Maybe he did something that night.
All right.
But this thing could be like his party. He got a bunch of unnecessary, unwarranted hype, you know.
But I know USC fine anyway, so it don't matter to me. You know,
I just saying. Might
attack you wild guys.
Anyway. Well, Burley, let's check out the picks real quick tonight, because then we got to get to the break. And then, you know, we got a great final 15 today.
Final 13 and a half.
That's some good stuff, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, you
that's
like that
a good
one,
conversation.
You like that? I kind of picked that one up.
Let the folks know what we're talking about.
Well, you know, one of my most favorite people is the Herd, you know? I like talking to the Herd. So we're going to talk a little bit about the Ravens versus the Chiefs, Bills Super Bowl window, and is Purdy holding the 49ers back? There's some good things to talk about. Here's the Bills Super Bowl. I think the Bills Super Bowl window closed.
Yep, it has.
I think it's close. This is it right here.
They need to get rid of Diggs. They need to get rid of certain other pieces and rebuild around Allen and Cook, the young pieces that they have.
Yep.
But I think this, and maybe even get rid of the coach.
That's a thought.
Naughty, trade LBJ anywhere just from around the Lakers. Cheering for a ham sandwich.
I like that.
All right. Let's check out these picks real quick, Purdy. And then we gotta get to where we gotta get to and get to the break. And then on the flip side of the break, Cowherd will take us home. Let's get to this call real quick, Kermie. Real quick. Caller, you got 30 seconds. Make it quick. What's going on, caller?
Hey, how you doing? Sorry for disturbing you, man. I really called you to ask you a question.
What's the question?
I hear when song coming to radio from last year, I like your song so much. Only radio station is played is y'all, but I never could get the name of the song, man. I can't know the song name.
And it's played what, a mic show?
No, it's here in the morning. It's the first song with your boy came over this morning.
All right, we'll call it right in the morning, bro, because I just be asleep then.
I'm trying to make up
for time working 12 years of doing morning radio. I sleep in the morning now.
I know, Jamaica's, you got to be there at 6 o'clock.
Right, 4:20 every morning. All right, so here's what we got tonight, Purdy. We're going strictly NBA tonight.
Okay.
So don't run off into women's basketball. I know you want to chase
my girlfriend ain't playing today, so.
All right, you got the Nuggets and the Pacers. You got the Nuggets as a 5-point favorite on the road.
I like the Nuggets and the points.
I like the Nuggets and the points. You got the Nets as a -4 favorite on the road against the Nets.
I like the Knicks and the points.
I'll take the money line with the Knicks. The Nets play well at home.
Yeah, but I like that. This New York.
Oklahoma City Thunder, 13-point favorites at home against the Trailblazers. I'm going to say go with the Thunder and the money line just to be safe.
I agree.
DeAndre Ayton returning to Portland. That could be a bump in the scoring. The 13 points may not hold. The Pelicans, 6.5-point favorites at home against the Jazz. Watch out for this. Take the Pelicans in the money line, but do not take the points because the Pelicans play down to the level of their competition.
I would take the Jazz and the points.
If anything, if you're feeling froggy. Clippers against the Lakers. 9.5-point favorites. The Clippers are tonight. No LeBron for the Lakers. You might take the Clippers in the 9.5.
No, I take the Lakers and the points.
All right. And of course, you can always play it on the Island Game. Simply log on to theislandgame.com. Check out the sports book. And the Island Game always reminds you to play responsibly. Quick break. Flip side of the break. Colin Coward taking us home. Purdy, it's been good stuff. I know you're holding out for Zhivago one more time tomorrow.
One more day.
And then I got Thursday
for myself. And I'm going to have a good show on Thursday. Line up something in line of what we've been talking about all week. So keep tuned.
All right. There you have it. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Talking Heads. Be good, Bahamas. And if you can be good, be good at it. We'll see you, mañana.
And if you can't be careful, don't name him after me.
Our currency brings you the African Giant live in concert. Burna Boy performing live Saturday, February 17th, taking place at Clifford Park. Also performing Rich Homie Quan, Mid Afri, Joe Capone, Sibeli. 2024. Tickets now. Swan, say, Moss, get you there.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. We are now inviting passengers on board for the new JetBlue CIBC First Caribbean credit card. Earn up to 30,000 bonus TrueBlue points with your first transaction and earn on everyday purchases. Plus, get up to 10,000 anniversary bonus points every year after. Please fasten your seatbelts and prepare for takeoff. Visit CIBCFCIB.com/JetBlue for more information on where Blue can take you.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
Nick Wright going to join me live here. First things first, let's go to Nick Wright. So
it's unbelievable.
By the way,
I don't know. You scotched the whole herd hierarchy rather than put the Chiefs ahead of the Bills for a single week. You just said, screw it. It's a staple of the show. Every damn Tuesday, you finally have no choice but to put Kansas City ahead of Buffalo. And you said, you know what? Burn the segment. Not even going to do it and suffer that indignity. Unbelievable. Hi, Colin.
Well, we only have four teams left, so it's not much of a hierarchy. But it's funny, and it's a good point. It's ironic. It's coincidental, but it's still a great point. No, I want to, I'm going to go to the Josh Allen thing. And I said this. They may be great next year. Doesn't mean they're going to win it. Those Buffalo teams for years that didn't win, those were great teams, great coach, great. But I said, here's the thing about Josh Allen. They're going to be viable for this reason. Think about how great Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson is. And I forget where I put the number, but Josh Allen has scored like 73 more touchdowns than Lamar Jackson the last 4 years. Is that, wouldn't you at least acknowledge, they may not win a Super Bowl, but Buffalo, as long as Josh Allen's in his 20s and early 30s, they're not going anywhere. Is that fair?
Well, not going anywhere. I guess that depends on your tone of voice. Like, they're not going anywhere, or this Bills team, they're not going anywhere. I guess it could be a bit of both. Here's the thing, Colin, and this is, as someone who has, you know, obviously, because I'm a Chiefs guy, been rooting for my hometown team in the playoffs 3 of the last 4 years against the Bills and Josh Allen. The version of Josh Allen that showed up to the game Sunday was the least scary. And I think the Bills, because they are scared of Josh's turnovers made him less of a scary player to play. Since Joe Brady took over, Josh Allen was under 250 yards passing in every game but one. The one game he had big passing numbers post Joe Brady was the Dolphins game, the end of the regular season, when he had three turnovers. And I think the best thing the Bills have going for them is their quarterback. And they appeared to me to be afraid of their quarterback making the big mistake. So they asked him, check it down, run the ball, take the easy completion. But when you ask someone to do something that is against their nature,
yeah,
and that is against Josh Allen's nature, it is very hard to do that for 3.5 hours. So what we saw on Sunday was Josh Allen play exactly the way they wanted him to play for three quarters. And then when, despite that, they were trailing, what did we see on the final drive? The best and the worst. First play of the final drive, he throws a 65-yard pass on a rope in cold weather, outdoors. And, I mean, it would have been a tough catch because any 65-yard pass is tough to catch, but it was a perfect pass. But so that's the best. But then what else did we see that drive? He fumbles the game away, fumbles their season away if it's scooped up the way it should have been.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the drive, 2nd and 9, has Stephon Diggs move the chains, keep bleeding the clock. He has to go for the kill shot. 3rd and 9, he goes for the kill shot. So I think if you're Buffalo, you can't coach the Allen out of Allen. You just have to somehow find a way to mitigate the mistakes.
Yeah.
Because to play a game against the Bills where they don't have a single 20-yard play, where Josh completes 16 passes behind the line of scrimmage,
yeah,
and 2 passes more than 5 yards downfield, that's not a scary Bills team. It just isn't.
You know, the Ravens are interesting, though, because I was saying this earlier about the Harbaughs. Jim Harbaugh is really not your classic offensive coach. You can't pigeonhole him. Both the Niners and Michigan were led by their defense. Michigan never threw the ball down the field. And John Harbaugh's really his history. He started an offense to special teams. His Flacco team was a top 10 offense. It was a Flacco hot streak. And this team's got a great defense, but it's his ability to embrace Lamar and keep adding elements to it that has made it great. Aren't you, whereas Sean McDermott is the classic defensive purist and Andy Reid has an edge, Harbaugh's hard to pigeonhole. They do offense. They do clever. Baltimore is, to me, less predictable, harder to pigeonhole. Harbaugh's harder to label. To me, if I was a Chiefs fan, I would be worried about Baltimore. They just do a lot well, and they're kind of unpredictable due to Lamar.
So, yeah, I mean, listen, Baltimore, going into the year, this was odd because I doubted Baltimore. Going into the year, you know, the AFC is so deep. I didn't know about the Burrow injury. I thought the Ravens were going to miss the playoffs. So I was dead wrong on Baltimore. But the same show that I said I thought they were going to miss the playoffs, I also said of all the teams in the AFC, they are the one I would least like to play in the postseason.
Right.
Because Lamar's best is so dynamic and so unique that if he is playing his A-plus level, they do seem almost unbeatable. And then you add to it what I didn't know they were going to have is, scoring-wise, the best defense in football. They are a great team. They had 3 losses, you know, you throw out the final week of the year. They had 3 losses all season, and they led at the 2-minute warning in all 3 of those losses. I watch all your media, Colin. I know for the, you know, you don't believe in the Chiefs still. You think the Ravens can, you know, walk all over them, blow them out. I get that. I'm surprised you don't, in, you know, almost a Tom Brady context, bring up this stat. I don't hear anyone mention it. Patrick Mahomes is 0-2 in the playoffs against Brady. He's 13-1 in every other playoff game.
Yeah.
And the one loss was in overtime. So I don't think anyone in any building deserves to be 3.5-point favorites over a healthy playoff Mahomes.
Yes.
Last year, we saw him in the postseason on one leg be able to score 38 in the Super Bowl. But I have a healthy respect for Baltimore, and they are, you know, they have earned every step of this. Unlike Buffalo, which I felt like a lot of it was the media wish casting what they could be, the Ravens have walked the walk all year in all three phases of the game, and they are more than a worthy competitor. And now I'll add this, Colin, given how Dallas once again flamed out in the playoffs, it feels to me, and we don't always get this, that we truly did get the four best teams in the league start to finish as our final four.
Yeah.
San Francisco, Detroit, Baltimore, Kansas City. That's the right final four.
So I was saying this during my preamble to you, is that you and I have been on the same kind of feeling with Brock Purdy. Is he, you know, I mean, players, obviously, Drew Brees fell to the second round. But I mean, if you look at Dak falling to the fourth round or Kirk Cousins, very similar players, there's a reason they fell to the fourth round. One wasn't an accurate thrower. One wasn't a big, strong power thrower and an athlete. Is that Brock Purdy is the last guy taken in the draft. Not everybody's a dummy in the league. And it is interesting. I had said earlier today, Mahomes loses, Tyreek Hill wins a Super Bowl. Lamar's on a third string running back without his Hall of Fame tight end, AFC championship. Josh Allen, pre-Stephon Diggs, was just fine. Brock Purdy deals with a drizzling rain and no Debo, and they were outplayed by Green Bay. Do you feel justified? I don't think they're going to beat Detroit without Debo. Oh, I don't. Wow. I don't. Do you feel a little justified on Brock Purdy? I'm mystified by smart people who are struggling to contextualize the Brock Purdy debate. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, I'm not mystified by it. I just think folks are more sensitive to criticism than you or I. And it is the easy thing to do is say, look at his record. Look at his numbers. What more do you want from him? I think the more nuanced point is this. What is your opinion of Brock Purdy? And how much of that is informed just by the numbers? And how much of it is informed by the fact that these games are on television? And that we are able to watch it, and that we watch football for 5 months every Sunday. We watch all these games, and give Brock credit. The end of the game, he came through. I didn't think he would. I didn't think he could, and he did it.
Yep.
But for 3 of the 3 hours and 15 minutes that game was on, he was the worst player on the field. Right. We had a debate about a player. Is he the league's MVP when deep down everyone knew not only was he not his team's MVP, deep down inside and outside the locker room, if you were asked, what is the Niners' biggest weakness, not the MVP of the league, the weakness of the team, they would say the quarterback. And then folks love, and you referenced this, Colin, folks love saying, well, you feel a certain way about him because of his draft status, as if that's not rational. Of course, the draft status is a part of it, because the draft is not random names selected out of a hat. I understand it is not all science, but there is a level of, if the people whose job is evaluating players on a full-time basis across 32 teams, every single one of them at the most important position had multiple opportunities to grab a guy, I think that's valuable data. I think his size is valuable data. I think his athleticism is valuable data. And if the rebuttal to that is, well, then explain Tom Brady. That is like making an argument about not needing superstars in the NBA because of the 04 Pistons. Because there is a once a quarter century anomaly does not mean the rest of the data is irrelevant. And I just don't think people deep down believe Brock Purdy's excellent.
Yeah.
I think it's easy to say he is because the numbers say he is, and they don't want to get yelled at. I think deep down, everyone knows he's the, if the Niners don't win, it will be because the quarterback is not good enough.
Yeah, I think you're right. By the way, I'll bring the herd hierarchy back next week, especially if Baltimore wins.
I mean, it's unbelievable. I've been waiting.